that can happen to your husband. The worst thing. When he loses his ability to lead your home. It is the worst state your home can be in when your husband stepped down from the place where he is leading your house. You don't want to be there. You are already the mom. You are already the carer. Now you must also be provider and leader. No, God made the man to lead. Let's not take it away from him. If your husband leads in a loving way, you will be a wife that is loved, and your marriage will be lovely. Can I get one amen? No, but he makes mistakes. You don't know my husband. Can I ask you, who is supposed to give your husband the support he needs? His secretary? The new lady at work? Who must tell him he can do it? Who must help him out? That's the heart of submission. Don't let him give up the mantle of leading the home. He's made for it. But you're going to have to help him, especially in the beginning, because he's going to slip and fall, and someone needs to pick him up. If you kick him when he's on the ground, you know what he's going to do? He's going to come down. I come home in the evening, sit before the TV. What is that guy doing? The challenge. He's done with leading this house, because what I get for it is a kick. Let him lead. He's made for it. You'll see him come. You'll see him flourish, you'll see him come to his potential. I'm talking to the marriage now. Okay, so singles, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Just hold on. Okay, I'm getting to you. Can I, married people, can we agree on this? Wives, you want your husband to lead? Natalie? You want? That's it. Maybe. Where's my wife? Yeah. from the kiddie zone, yeah. When your husband makes a mistake, encourage him. Lift him up. Tell him, baby, or Scorpy, or Chompy, I don't know how it's you. So, you know, you just tell him, don't worry, we'll sort this out. You're going to get it next time. Alright? That is the heart of submission. Now, singles, are you ready? How do you deal with this thing in being single? That's a problem, because listen to me clearly. You don't submit to anyone unless it's your husband. Can we agree on that? You don't submit to a man. The Bible says you submit to your own husband. You don't even submit to your grandpa or someone else's husband, someone you respect, in the same way you submit to your husband. But how do you look out for this while being single? And I think you've got something to work with. Let me ask you this, ladies. Single ladies, can you put your hand up?
I'm married.
Yeah, so you've got it. Your engagement is still on. Let me ask you something. Most of the ladies, I know you, I've got a wife. You always have your eye on someone. Come on. Okay? Oh, I'm not ever. What do you see in that man? I'm going to ask you that. What do you see in him? No, he's hot. What do you mean? No. That's not what I'm talking about. Where is he going? And do you want to be the one who comes behind him and push him? Is he living in such a way, what is true in singleness, it goes in marriage. Is he walking a kind of a road, you can see where it's going, and you're like, I want to be the one that helps this guy get there. That's my job. I want to help, so I see potential in. If you see that, you want the right track. Because when it comes to submission, you'll be easy. You've got the heart already. I see potential in him. I want to help him. I want to make sure he doesn't miss what God has for him. I want to be his supporter. Now, glory. We'll be scoffers, okay? Are we together, ladies? Do you agree with me? What do you see in the man? I don't know. Hotness doesn't last that long. Can I ask you a question? Do you feel safe with him? Do you feel safe? Because it's important. Because he's going to stand before God. God can ask him, how did you lead your wife? Christ is his head, so Christ can talk to him about, how did you lead your wife? And then he's going to have a conversation with you, and he's going to ask you, how did you submit to him? Oh, you don't know my husband. Yeah, but you're still single, so make sure that before you pursue a relationship, that this guy has got something in you that you want to come behind him, love him, push him, pick him up, and follow him and submit to him. So that one day when he stands before Jesus, maybe he's got trouble for the leading part, but when you stand before Christ and say, well, then you submit, you pushed him, you furnished him with love, you created an awesome environment for this man to flourish. That is the heart of submission. So back to my story about, will you go to Pretoria if I have to go? And she said, no, no, this doesn't work. Sure, we spend time together and it's fun, but there's no God chemistry. There's no that heart of, I see something in you, and if your calling takes you to a place where I don't want to go, I will go because you go there. And I didn't have that, I broke up the relationship. In a peaceful and a beautiful way. Does it make sense? So, I'm saying you don't submit to a single guy, but you see potential. And the same for the guy on the other side. You have to ask, and Janae and I, we had that conversation, it wasn't a nice one. We sit down and we said, listen, we're going out for a year now. We are at a stage where we really have to ask ourselves a difficult question. I'm not going to waste your time. And I want to make sure if this isn't going to work. And she spoke to me about certain things I do, ways I think that she wasn't happy with. And I spoke to her, and we spoke about it. We said, listen, we have to see, is this thing compatible? This is where I want to go. How do you feel about that? Okay, we had that talk. Now, but even after she did not submit to me, I was not a husband. I didn't care for her. It wasn't my job to provide for her financially. Sure, if I had to help, I would help. But, I mean, she's still under her dad's authority. So she doesn't submit to her husband. The Bible says you leave your father and your mother, and you become one with your husband, and you submit to him. Before that happens, you can see the signs. Does it make sense? So when someone comes to church, comes into the door, Pastor, I want to be a small group leader. I'm like, oh, that's great. It's the first time I meet you. Can I meet you next Sunday, 3 o'clock, and then we pack the chairs? And so I come 3 o'clock, and he's here. All right, we pack the chairs. I'll see you next Sunday again, we'll pack the chairs. All right, come for coffee. And this man has got a servant heart. His heart is right. He's got potential to be a small group leader. I'll put in the effort with him. In the same way with relationship, you train for it before you get married, and you see whether it works. Does she respect you? Ladies, do you want to respect this guy? Do you want to follow him? Marriage is a long time. Amen? Let me just say this. Ladies, I love you, and you, without you, this place will fall apart. And a question you would want to ask me now, what about my calling? Am I right? Is that a question with someone who has? Let me tell you what you have a calling. Done. But before your calling will take form, if you marry, you choose to make the first part of your calling to submit to that husband. Otherwise, you should not marry. Your calling is both visible and invisible. But the Bible speaks clearly about it. Some of the parts is visible, some of the parts of the body is invisible. Maybe you're going to be a kidney for 4 years. Christelle Mabel, who was here 2 weeks ago when she was here, do you know that she was launched into ministry 2 years ago? She's now 40. She's got 5 kids. For 14, I don't know how long, years, she submitted to her husband. She served him to make sure he could minister, he could be a pastor, she loved him. And now she pulls crowds greater than him. Okay? You have a calling. If you choose to marry, you must know that scripture applies to you. So serve as an invisible part. Maybe you're not Christelle. Maybe God launches you after 4 months. Okay? I don't know God's timing. But you have a calling, and your calling is important. Who of you know Joyce Meyer? Okay? Read some of her books. She'll tell you how God spoke to her in the first years about submitting to her husband. And when she got that right in ministry, her husband is still the leader of the house. She's got a big and awesome ministry. So you have a calling. If you marry, the first thing you have to do is to show the Lord that you know how to submit to your husband as he shall submit to Christ. This is the thing that we can talk about for a week, not 10 minutes. I'm dropping a few things out here. If you think about this afterwards, I'm happy. That's what I want to do. Are you happy with my conclusion with that, ladies? You have a calling. On God's time, you will see. And some of you have public callings. I will tell you that. Some of you ladies, I don't want to call names because there's a lot of you. That's every week doing the coffee, the tea, behind the scenes. Some of you have public ministries. Just be patient. Don't give up serving. You're sitting behind the curtains now. We go, we eat coffee, we go out of the door, you clean this place at the last. I tell you, some of you have got public ministries. But right now you are exercising, being faithful behind the scenes. And we bless you for that. Amen. Where is he heading currently? Where will he take me? Am I willing to place my dreams aside where he is heading because it excites me? I'm going to say this one thing. Girls, it feels like dying and death following a man. Do you know that every man should die of his own dreams and follow Christ? He will be accountable for that. Every man also needs to die of his desires, of his ideals, because God has sometimes got a calling on us that's different than what we desire at first. We all have to count the cost. But you know what we do together? Marriage is amazing. We support one another. Amen? Can we agree on that? Now, I'm going to skip point four. So, you can just go to five. I just feel that's what the Lord is telling me, so excuse me. It's going to say five, but you can make it five or four on your page. Okay. I hope you catch what I'm trying to say here. Worship binds marriage together. That's what Mark Driscoll says. He says, every house has got trash. The key is to take it out the right way. Okay, marriages. Who had a fight the last week? That's everyone. Everyone except the golden couple there in the corner. Let me just say it straight. The question is not, will you fight? The question is, how will you fight? I'm using the word fight because it sounds so emotional. Let's call it talk or whatever. You're going to have trash and you're going to have to take it out. You put two sinners together, what do you think you're going to get? One holy community. No. Make a mistake. You put one and one together, you get two. You put two sinners together, you've got two sinners in one bed. That's how it works, to put it straight. Will it be a good fight or a bad fight? Now, let me tell you why I say this. If the man worships Jesus before you start to go out to him, before you marry, if he lovingly worships Jesus, you can see his heart breaks before the Lord. When he's at church, he's not looking at you and it's freaking you out because he's focusing on the Lord. Okay? That's the kind of man you want to look for. Amen, girls? Okay? Okay, that's the kind of man you're looking for. You're looking for the one who comes in and he walks past you, and why didn't he hug you? Why? Because he's focused on the Lord. Alright? And I'll tell you why, because he's gonna fight different than other men. That's a statement I'll make now. I'll explain it now as I go through the next point. A man who worships, he handles the trash in his marriage differently. But you need two parties. I'm talking about the man. Also, see, that's like my name to say, but the same is true for the woman, all right? Let me show you something. This is a guy, his name is, Gary Thomas. Next slide. John Gottman. He said, there is four things that if this kind of elements is in your...
Sorry.
You're right. If one of these four things is present in the way you take out the trash in your house, he said it can be devastating for the marriage, if not ending divorce. He calls it the four horsemen. It's four ways of taking out the trash. Now, some of the married people are going to know exactly what I'm talking about, and the single's going to say, why are you talking about this stuff? We don't know what you're saying. Hang on, I'm going to help you, okay? What I'm doing here tonight. The first way, married people, not to take out the trash is to criticize. Let me just say what I mean by that. You always do it that way. You never do that. And what I do is, instead of what the couple do, instead of talking about the problem, they make the partner the problem. You always. You never. You always make me feel like this. Instead of welcoming them as a friend that stands beside you to address the problem, you make them the problem. Horseman number one. It breaks down a woman. She shrinks away from what her personality really is. She's scared. If a woman specifically got a sharp tongue, her husband will shrink down. And what will happen to what I spoke about earlier, he will cease to leave the home. Because he'll be scared for that criticism. You always do it that way. You always fail. I trust you. And we always go never. Look at our finances. We've been married for 10 years. It's all your fault. You make your partner the problem. Instead of welcoming them close to you, instead of embracing one another in that moment, I separate you from me and I say, the problem is not me, the problem is you. Does it make sense? I war against you. Instead of working with you. Number two is contempt. Now, this must be the saddest one of them all. My heart breaks down. I can get emotional when I think about this. You are disgusting. You disgust me. You are ugly. Look at you. I can't stand you. Listen, this should not come near to our marriages. It has no place. The Jesus-loving family, no place. If there's signs of that in our hearts, we need to get it out, we need to take out the trash. This does not belong in our marriages. Can we agree on that? Can we talk about communication? And I'm doing it for a reason. I'm talking about finding a solid partner. I'm putting a mirror up for marriage, and I'll tell you why. Just hold on with me one second, or not one second, a few minutes. Number three is defensiveness. Yeah, I make mistakes, but it's because of you. You made me this way. Yeah, I mess up and listen this way, but it's because of you. If I did not marry you, I would not be here today. Sure, I messed up, but it's your fault. Or, maybe in a milder sense, I'm sorry, it was my friend's, it's not my fault. I couldn't help it. We went there and did that. It wasn't my decision to make. I just remember, it's not my fault. You can't be mad at me. Right? Instead of saying, honey, I love you and I messed up. I wish I could go back. I wish I could fix it, but I can't. You have to forgive me. It's me. Instead of manning up and saying, no, it's you, but it's someone else. Defensively, it's more subtle. And when you talk to your friends and your spouse is not there, you put your spouse up to be quite a bad one. Defensiveness, okay? Stonewalling, I ignore you. I speak loud at you. I hear you speak, and I'm like, nah, nah, nah. I don't know how people do it. I haven't been in a fight like that lately. I will be honest, I didn't witness it as a child in my parents' house, so it broke my heart. I know grown-ups scream at one another. That's one way of clutching out. When you talk, I scream over you. Another way is to go out, pack my bags, and I'll break. I'll chuck you and the kids. I don't care. And I go away. Stonewalling is a way. Any one of these four things in your marriage, oh, is critical. And if all four of those are present, God help. Really, and I say that honestly. And let me ask you again what I said at the beginning. Does he worship Jesus? And does he love Jesus? And I'll tell you why. I'm going to come back to the four horsemen just now. Let's go to the next slide. So this man, he worships Jesus in church. Now, you're not married yet, you see him. And he knows Jesus, and he knows this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified by the grace of God. And he knows that. He knows he's a sinner. He knows he's broken before God. He knows if it was not for Jesus saving him, he would be nothing and nowhere. He knows it so deeply, it carries a humility in him. When you worship Jesus at home or at church, what happens is this: God, you are good to me. It's a way his pattern moves. God, you love me so much that even though I have sinned, for all I have sinned, I'm not better than one of these people, you still love me. And then he goes on to recognize, I'm such a sinner before you, Lord. John 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. Alright? And he knows that his Lord, I know I'm still sinful. I know I carry the iniquity of sin in me, but praise God, because of you. And what happens in him? He gets what? The H word. The H word, come on. He gets humility. Man, God is so, if it was not for God, I would not be here today. That's the way he thinks. He worships and he repents. So I tell you two things, which is the most important things in your marriage. The ability to repent and the ability to forgive. We saw this beginning foundation three. We worked with some of our friends and our couples, all of us, we were repenting the whole weekend. It's a weekend where we forgive people and we repent of our behavior. If a marriage can do that, repent and forgive, you'll make it. Let's go to that next slide, please. And the next one. That same guy, this is what he says. Married couples don't fall out of love so much as they fall out of repentance. What this guy is saying is, as long as you can come humbly and say, walkie, chocolatey, whatever, I was wrong. For the how many times, please forgive me. And she can say, you know what, I love you, it did hurt, but I forgive you. If you can do those two things, you will make it. Alright? Now let's go back to the four horsemen. That's on the next slide. Okay, let's go back here for a second. Let me tell you what. If a guy is a worshiper and gets to number one, how will he act? Okay, the problem was with criticizing. I make you the problem. It's not us as a team. You are the problem. No, he ends up. He says, you know what, honey? I use that word. I make a lot of mistakes. Can you forgive me? Please give me grace to grow. I have messed up and I know I will again, but let me tell you what, I love you so much. I want to do this right. And then probably what the wife will say in that moment, you know what, it's possible. Because that's how God works. He says it's a possible sign. And then she will say, because you are, I'm sorry for this. And then if you're married, good stuff happens. That's how it works. Mary, you become stronger than the issue. Okay? As a couple, you welcome each other. I welcome you as my friend. We've got this problem. But it's we, man. We've got this problem. What are we going to do? Let's talk about it. If he's a worshiper, he'll do that. Because remember, he brings it in from his relationship with God. I'm sinful before God. I'm wrong before God. I'm messed up before God, but he forgives me. Oh, I come into marriage with you. Well, it is true in singleness. He goes in marriage. If he's a worshiper before marriage and he truly loves the Lord, you've got yourself a good man. He goes into marriage and he carries it through. I also make some mistakes with you. I sin before God, I also sin before you. We're a team. Does that make sense? Condemn. Like I said, this kind of language should not be present in the Christian home, and it is not present in the home of worship. We don't talk to one. Right? When we're mad, we also get mad and we also Jesus teaches us how to speak to one another in a loving, affirming way. I bring you close to me, and I push you away from me. Alright? If you can break before Jesus, if you can break before him with a broken heart, he brings that same love into marriage. He's still a strong man. Okay? He's still strong in values, strong in valor. Okay? But when it comes to you, there's a gentleness. He knows you're fragile. And with defensiveness, what the Holy Spirit does is he shows a man what he does wrong. And it often happens, especially in the beginning of my marriage. I think we've grown also. We still have a long way to go. So what happens is we've got a kind of a scuffle at home, and I go for a jog, she goes for a walk, and I come back, and what happens is we both say we're sorry. We both say we're wrong. Most of the time, everyone will be wrong at some time, but we can agree that in certain fights, some of us are more wrong than the other one. But when we go away, right, when we go away, the Holy Spirit speaks. Also, it's my mistake. It's always, it's my fault. Because he always shows you what you can do about yourself. So instead of being on the defense, yes, I was wrong, but it's your fault. You own up, you man up, if you are a worshiper. You know, when you give your life to God, that's exactly what you do. You man up for a moment. You say, Lord, I'm sinful. I don't have a cooking clue what's going on. Save me. That's exactly what you're doing. You can't come before God to be saved and say, God, I'm not so bad. I'm this way because my uncle, my father used to beat me. That's my fault. So I go on. No. Come before God and you own up and you do the same in marriage. I don't defend. It's not your mistake. It's me. It sets a very good atmosphere in the house. Stonewalling. Let me just say, running away. There's nothing wrong with cooling down. Let me just say that. Sometimes we need to go for a jog. Guys, we need to run it out. I don't know what you do, girls. Listen to a song. Look at the flower. I don't know. Just do whatever you have to do, okay? And cooling down is nothing wrong. I'm not talking about taking 30 minutes. Coming back. But there's a problem when I shut you out. I refuse to talk about this issue. Well, I talk louder than you. I belittle you. We can talk about anything, but don't talk about that. Okay? We need to address the issue. So we learn to walk toward one another, and not push one another away. Now, why am I talking about this? Next slide. If you're drawing closer to a person, you're going out, you're getting engaged, I want to tell you these two things are extremely important, repentance and forgiveness. Can you see that in that person's life? Can you see in them an ability to say, I was wrong, please forgive me, and you extend forgiveness, and sometimes he must forgive you. If you see those two things within the context of them loving Christ, you're on the right road. Repentance and forgiveness brings love and trust. A lady, a woman will always trust an honest man. Even if they do terrible things. Okay? What they don't like is a schemer. I come into a relationship with you, I scheme with you. I tell you one thing, I do another. I charm my way down. Repentance and forgiveness is screaming out of the table, I'll talk you straight. Can we agree on that? Now let me say this. Only a worshiper of Jesus Christ can truly know what repentance and forgiveness is because he's been forgiven. I've repeated myself. Do you get that? Does that make sense? Someone who does not know Jesus, they can stop a certain sin, but they cannot become a worshiper. Listen to what I'm saying. Someone who does not follow Jesus, who does not worship him, they can stop certain behavior. They can say, I'm doing this, I'm going to stop this. They can put themselves together and oh, they can stop it. They can stop swearing at you. Is it a good thing? Yes, it's good. If he hits you, which God forbid does not happen, and he stops, is it a good thing? Yes. It's not worship. Alright? You will never know how to treat you the way Jesus knows you must be treated because you're valuable to him. There's a certain way in which a husband works with a wife. Only Jesus can teach that to a man. She's fragile, she's gentle. On the woman's side, he needs to be supported. He needs to feel, I can do this because, man, this woman is supporting. She believes in me. She believes I am the best of the Avengers. Okay? And we need to get that from God. In your marriage, if you're married, how is this doing? How are you doing with repentance and forgiveness? Can you talk about stuff? Maybe at a certain stage you were very good at it, but you've put it aside. Repentance and forgiveness is not nice when it happens, but the fruit of it is beautiful. It creates trust and love. If you are single, know where you are heading. You are heading into a relationship, and this is extremely important. Your relationship is training for marriage. Is this present? Can you talk? Does he say sorry? Is he really sorry? Does he worship Jesus? Most important thing. A worshiper gets these things from the Holy Spirit. It's difficult to put it on slides. Are you with me? So my last slide, I just want to say, worship makes or breaks marriage. And the most marriages in South Africa is broken, if not divorced already. What we said is we want to be a voice in this town. We want to make a voice to our friends. Why do you guys do this? Why do you treat, why don't you move in together? No, no. Come have coffee. We'll explain to you. We'll be that voice. Let us tell you why we are doing things this way. Man, that, I wish my husband one day would treat me like Theo treats himself. That's what we want to see amongst us. We cannot have perfect marriages. We can have Jesus-centered marriages, which contains repentance, forgiveness, love. And you being single, drawing near to another person, do not have your eyes closed. Don't play Russian roulette with your future. Maybe he's going to make it's exactly what you're doing. You don't think about these things. Okay? Does it make sense, everyone? Let's stand up tonight in this place. I want to thank you for your patience. It was a long message and you listened and you made your nose go. I thank you for that. I'm going to do something very